and turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. This will be our last in the series on this psalm. Let us again read the entirety together. And let us do pray in our hearts as we read that God would help us to believe every word. Tremble at these sobering words in some cases and rejoice in the truth and the promises that God has given us here. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. Psalm, as we noted, is taken up with God's glory at the very beginning. He's worthy of that glory. It says, Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. About God's glory and the church's concern that He is seen with weight, with significance, as a glorious being. Even as we sang there in Psalm 66, sing forth the honor of His name. Make His name glorious, or His praise rather, glorious. This is the church's cry. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto Thy name give glory. Through this psalm, we are warned against the idols. Warned how ineffectual, how foolish they are. They have the lineaments of a person, yet no functions. No functions. They have the form of a god, but no power. They're empty, they're vain, and those that trust in them will be like them. We also commanded and encouraged to trust in Jehovah. The great promises then, based upon God, that are given to the church. That brings us really right through verse 14. And now, in these last four verses, there's reflections upon these great truths, these great promises of God that will be mentioned, of God being mindful of us and being worthy of our trust. And He will bless us, all the people of God, the small and the great. Remember that. What a blessing that is. Think upon those things. Verse 15 assures us of this blessing. Verse 16 gives us the two spheres, the two places, if you will, where God is to be glorified in heaven, where God's throne is at, and upon the earth, as we, the church, use it to glorify Him, the good gifts He's given us, and the opportunities to fulfill the Great Commission. And again, we sang in Psalm 66, with all lands to God in joyful sounds. Aloft your voice is raised. All lands are called upon to praise God, to believe in Christ. This brings us, though, to verse 17 and 18. I think this gives us the assurance of deliverance for the church. Christ's church will always be here. Sometimes more pure than others. Sometimes even the visible church has degenerated, so that as Christ tells us in Revelation, no longer a church, but a synagogue of Satan. Confession of faith upon the Bible's truth says this: Nevertheless, there shall be always a church on earth to worship God according to His will. And let's just look briefly then at these verses and see how this has worked out. First thing I want to point out is there is an assurance of existence by reference, that is, existence of the church, by reference here to the worship of the church. Notice in verse 17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. You know, the danger here in verse 17, we've tried to look at various times to assert the danger of the church, fearing its extermination. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. In other words, as I said, the dead, those are in the grave. On earth, they no longer praise the Lord. They no longer extol and magnify God. Their voice is silenced in this earth. The church was in a terrible situation. The heathen were mocking them. Where is now their God? The church cries unto Christ and encourages herself to trust in Jehovah. And they say the dead won't praise God. The dead won't worship our God. Not every individual of the church is promised deliverance from death. Christ has willed from Abel right down to the end, the last martyr, that there will be them that die for Christ's sake. But the church, as an organization, as a visible manifestation, will be here. Because God will always have someone here to worship Him according to His Word, according to His will. Notice what this work of the church is here. But we will what? Bless the Lord. Same word we had in verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. There we saw, when God blesses a man, and He increases them in certain ways. It would be some of the blessings of Jacob to his sons. Saw the increase, especially in Judah's blessing. How does man bless God? Does he increase God? Does he add to Him? Does he make the degrees of God's holiness go up in majesty? No, he doesn't. When man blesses God, when man praises God, and when man extols the Lord, he is making, this was such a great psalm we sang to go with this tonight, he's making God to be glorious in his view and others' view. He's commending God. He's extolling, he's building him up in the opinion of others, in the sight of others. Because God's glory is not affected by us. His essential glory, he's always going to be glorious. When his glory is said to suffer or to be eclipsed, it's only as it's manifested here among the sons of men and the earth. It shines forever brightly. He dwells with what? In light unapproachable. But the church will bless. And it's the same form of the word we had in verse 12. I know we don't all remember what that form was. But the idea is this. You're busying yourself in this action of blessing or of worshiping God. That's the church's work in many ways. As our confession says, God will always have a church on earth to worship Him according to His will. The church here is singing, but we will bless the Lord. We will worship Him even from this time forth and forevermore. There will be a church on earth. There will be a gathered people of God to serve Him in praise, in preaching, in prayer. We will bless Him. We will magnify Him. And we'll be busy about it. You know, church worship, coming to bless God on the Lord's Day and be blessed of Him, is not just a side thing. We should be looking forward to it. We should have it as a central facet of our thinking and actions. Many don't like sermons to be more than a half hour at the very most. We have to be careful here. We don't want to overtax the sheep. That is not what we're getting at, but we need to pray that God would give us such a hunger for the Word of God and give ministers that can preach the Word of God so that it's not a burden to preach longer if need be, to sing more if need be, rejoice in our God. Be busy about the worship of God as a church. That's why, if God wills, we grow more. We like to have two services every Lord's Day. To begin and end the day of God in the corporate worship of His blessed name. Have an assurance then that the church will exist. But also in these verses, we have an acceptable refrain for such an assurance. Notice, if you will, in the last half of verse 18, praise the Lord. Christ said, what? I will build my church. I will build the church of me. Man is not building it. Man is an instrument. Remember what 1 Corinthians 3 says. One saith, I am Paul. Another, I am Apollos. This is 1 Corinthians 3, 4. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers, but slaves, but servants, by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Paul is saying here, man is nothing in the work and the building of the church. There's no glory to be given to man. Or nothing. Paul, the greatest apostle. Apollos, one of the greatest preachers. Nothing. Mere servants. Mere men that only have something granted unto them from heaven. As John the Baptist said, no man can take anything unto himself except it be given him of heaven. It's not in any man. But he says, but God that giveth the increase. In other words, God is everything. Because he is the one that giveth the increase. Man is nothing. Not to be accounted of. But God is everything. The work of building the church, Paul labored more than others. Apollos preached and labored as well in prayer. These would be sin not to do. But when we look at their labors, Paul says of himself and of Apollos and of Peter and of any other man, were nothing. It is God that giveth the increase. He is all. Christ then must have the glory. Why does the church exist? Why will it always be existing here? Because Christ says, I will build my church. I will do it. Let us then come tonight and praise the Lord. Amen.